Howdy ho, and welcome to Null Pointers. We are your hosts, Stephen
and Mark. So, Stephen, since we're now back again regularly more in the studio and the cobwebs have come down, I've been recently thinking a lot about this. You know, right now it seems there is a lot of awesome new tech around, right? So there is a lot of tech hypes that we have been able to see in the past. Might show a bit of our age, our little bit of gray hair, even though I must say, in the camera, your hair looks perfect. Just mentioning it, you know.
Don't come across me in person because it's getting gray. It's getting gray. There.
Well, we're getting there. But what that shows is we got a, like, I'm doing air quotes here, experience. And I think, like, currently we see two trends. I mean, the large one, I think, is, like, artificial intelligence. Like, again, we used to have one a few years back where it was more like image-based artificial intelligence, and everyone was doing something with image-based artificial intelligence.
That's because it's awesome.
It's awesome. But I remember, like, there were so many demos about how your phone could recognize if it's a banana or a hot dog or a dog or a cat or, I don't know, a pineapple. Probably someone did a demo with a pineapple.
But probably.
Today, we got this new awesome thing, which is large language models. And I think this will outlast the hype that we had around blockchains. What is your take?
I definitely think so. So to get back to your earlier point, the whole image-based stuff, I actually still use it quite a lot.
But it works.
For all sorts of stuff, like backgrounds for visual work or you name it. It's really good at that kind of stuff. Don't tell it to do hands still. It's getting there. Don't get me wrong. It's getting better. There's typically five on each hand now, which
most
or fingers
time.
Wise. Sometimes it's hot dogs,
two arms,
as you said.
Three.
Yeah, things coming out of strange places. It still happens. But yeah, that was a few years ago, and those are obviously evolving. Coming back to your original question a bit later, but did you also see, since we're still on the visual part, did you see the demo for the video thing that OpenAI released?
Yeah.
They were doing like 30, 60-second videos of pretty good quality, like scary sometimes quality. If you look at them really close, obviously there are things happening that aren't really correct. People that are walking are sort of floating in the void instead of actually having impact on their steps and stuff like that. But like at first glance for like stock video and stuff like that, I think people would hardly notice, especially given that, give it like maybe half a year more, that kind of stuff will probably also be fixed. But yeah, it's scary. And I think video is also one of the bigger next topics.
I'm totally with you. I mean, I haven't seen a ton of these videos, and I actually haven't looked at them so closely as you have. I didn't notice that people were floating. But I thought it was like, I mean, for me, I think a lot of people have voiced a lot of criticism about using AI to do like images, or now you can do video clips with it. And I get it. I mean, I think like if you are an artistic person that can really express yourself drawing an image, that's something totally different than an AI will ever generate. If, however, you're a person like me who has got like zero graphical abilities, I mean, I know which colors like do not match and I still put them on the screen. That's me, and I apologize. But I then work together with people that have got a graphical eye and mind, and together I think we will produce something really neat and awesome. And I think for someone like me, having like a generative AI that can generate an image, I think you can like do some tricks, like tell it, you know, like do it low polio stuff, you know, that it's like if you're doing it wrong, do it totally wrong. And then it's again it's better than if you're trying to fake the realistic and you can just like see like, yeah, that's not quite it. On the other hand, I think like if I look at images that come from real artists, I can see a difference in that. I think like if you, once you've seen a few of these generated images, they all start to feel and look a bit the same, because probably because they all were generated by the same AI. I know, but so I think this is an interesting space, and especially like with video. Yeah, I think it's a bit uncanny, isn't it? I mean, you can like see today, you can see that it's not a real video, but given enough time and effort, I think you could start faking people, like really, really faking people, and doing like putting them in scenes that are not just like in front of a like a, you could already deep fake like presidents giving speeches, but now you could like deep fake a person doing stuff. Inappropriate stuff or dangerous stuff, which they actually never did, and which would be like really hard to fake with the previous kinds of generative AI. And yeah, I think it's scary, especially if you like look at how good AI can already imitate your voice. I know that there are some AIs that you can like give them some voice samples, and you can then give them text, and they will read it with your voice, and it will sound very realistic.
I hope no one scrapes all of our podcasts and makes GPT.
Disclaimer, this podcast is not done by ChatGPT, and probably by the script you will also notice there isn't a AI generating the script, otherwise it would be like we would have really nice transitions, you know, like the transition back to blockchain, that would have been like really neat, and not just like shoved again back in for me right now. And
I mean, if you want to talk blockchain, I think Bitcoin actually made an all-time high today, which is blockchain related.
That's like the one thing that, okay, I know there are different cryptocurrencies out there, but representative for all the others. I hope I don't get any hate mail for this. I think blockchain really enabled this cryptocurrency
things.
You know the cryptocurrencies. Yeah. What I'm trying to get at is cryptocurrency. So cryptocurrency is still here. Blockchain. I remember there used to be a huge hype around blockchain, right? Like, yeah, you could do all the things. And I know that I think you've been a bit more involved in this space of the blockchains than
more so in the creative side of things, which is also frowned upon for what it's worth. Like the whole NFT fad and all that stuff. It's all still around, and I'm sure people are looking to make actual solutions, but there's also a lot of people looking to just make a quick buck and call it a day, which I mean that is I think true in every thing that gets hyped. People are trying to make the best out of it for themselves monetarily, or at least those people are out there. But yeah, I think blockchain as a hype concept of data storage, so to speak, is kind of gone, right?
Well, it's just so much easier, I think, to just have if you're a developer like us too, and you solve mostly like some boring business problem, it's just way easier to just take your average database engine. Is it Microsoft SQL Server or PostgreSQL or MySQL or some graph database, whatever, and just solve your stuff in one place. And if you need to, and then it's like full torrents, and then you make a cluster, and then it gets like super top complicated, and then you get in consultants, and then you go down that route, you know. But blockchain is like a totally different beast for doing that. And I think there were a lot of interesting cases that I could see, you know, like if you're in a zero trust environment and you want to like have these different ledgers, so the amount of con artists being able to con their way into the database is like minimized drastically by that. As long as you have got enough of these replicas going on. But for your average business problem where you say, well, I trust my servers because we write the code and we have to rely on the information that we have because we actually build up our business on top of this information. I think it's like more difficult. But interestingly, I think we can now see a lot of the same things happening for AI, like for these new large language models. Like there are now a plethora of services that you can rent in the cloud that will let you tap into some super powerful AI generation thingy.
Yeah, help desks is one of them. I see, like, it's probably just a few firms making these and everybody else just plugging them into their website. But, like, all the chat assistants have suddenly gone a bit more wordy, I guess. Like, before, you would just type two words and it would give you a few words back and you would click through and maybe you'd get to the topic that you're actually wanting to inform about. But at the moment, they're like talking full sentences, and it sort of makes sense. I think that's definitely obviously some AI being plugged in there. Other things like ChatGPT, like obviously that's the most well-known of the bunch, I would say. And it's getting used for all sorts of things. I've seen ChatGPTs specifically made for cooking. What are we eating tonight?
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's ask ChatGPT. Because
I've been there, done that. I'll just be honest. I've been there, done that. Yeah. This morning, I asked ChatGPT to create myself a warm-up routine for my workout because I just thought, I'll try it. And then it generated me a warm-up, and I just thought, like, yeah, like, I don't want to do 40 minutes of warm-up. Just boil it, please, down to 5 minutes and make it like an AMRAP scheme, as many reps as possible. So you just like cycle through 5 minutes and gave you like the workout that I'll be doing, and it was good, I must say. The movements in there, they were interesting. It's not, it sounds like it mixes stuff up a bit, which I like, but it just shows like you can use these large language models for a lot of these very interesting things. And I think another really interesting part is you can like provide information. Like if you got ChatGPT today, ChatGPT, and you pay for it and the model 4, you can give it like information about yourself. And so it will then start to adjust the answers that you do. Like I know from a few people, they're no longer using any travel agencies or like going through books. They just ask ChatGPT, they're like, well, you know, I would like to do this and that. And then, well, based on your interest profile, you know, these are like the options. And then you just like go down in a conversation. And I think it's like really interesting. On the other hand, I mean, I've done that for 2 vacations now. And I always got like these little questions in the back of my head, like, am I missing out on something? I mean, because you could just be, that's just like the thing, because you don't know, right? And you just assume that the knowledge that's been ingested, legally or not, provides all the information that you're actually looking into. And for some pieces, I must say, it is really good, but it also falls a bit short, like, for those things. And I think that's like another interesting realm that they now have, they're starting to open up with these large language models, is that you give them like reference material. You can build today, I'll look that we get the link into our show notes, a good Swiss friend of mine, MVP friend of mine, Philip, he did a blog post where he showed like he used his blog, like he got all these blog posts as I think markdown file or something, and he uploaded it to an Azure AI thingy, which you then can bootstrap together with some GPT knowledge, and he could then ask ChatGPT questions, and it would answer you solely on the purpose of those blog posts. So if he's like into quantum computing, so of course he had some reference of Heisenberg in there, but he probably didn't have any reference of Stephen Tavisson in there. So the ChatGPT would then answer like, well, I don't know, because that is not part of my knowledge subset. And this is just a sample that I'm giving you of a blog, but you can upload anything. And I think that's like the power. So if you got like a system, I think, that you already have like knowledgeable material, you can now make really intelligent chatbots. Because, I mean, oftentimes you got like, you got the FAQ, you got your RTFM, read the frigging manual section that you can bang around people's head. But they still will come up because they want to ask a question. And I think if you look at how you can interact with ChatGPT, it's like chat-based, but you can also have the voice-based interface, where it's like a dialogue. And I think that could be like really interesting in those cases. And because of that, I mean, that's like one niche point where I think some companies will see a lot of potential, like money-wise. I think that these large language models, they will be here to stay because you can just see like there is a lot of ideas right now. So a lot of people are also trying to gain the quick buck, you know, like squeezing ChatGPT into everything, and maybe someone will buy it I don't know what schemes are going on with AI these days, but I'm sure there are one or two out there.
Yeah.
And yeah. Well, okay, so I just want to sleep soundly tonight, Stephen. So please be gentle with whatever you will be revealing now.
I'll be gentle. Nah, it's like you are obviously just as aware as I am that if you accidentally click the wrong YouTube video, your front page is going to be smothered by crap for the unforeseeable future. So did I. I clicked on, I don't even know why I clicked. I think I just misclicked or something. Like, I had no interest in the topic, but it was something about people using AI, be it generative or the language model one, to just produce tons and tons and tons of content, be it coloring books, be it all sorts of drawings and things, and they just made them into a PDF, call it a coloring book, sell it on, I don't know, Amazon, wherever you can sell this kind of stuff, and just make a living off of it. And the people that are buying it, once they actually get a real look at it, they're like, okay, this is kind of crap. But hey, I made a few bucks on each of these. So, and then it's typically videos of, air quotes again, influencers, saying, I made 200K selling ChatGPT coloring books or something, you know, something stupid like that. And yeah, like once I accidentally clicked on one of these, there was like, it was a whole ecosystem of people shilling this same trick as if it's something super complex. Yeah, there's so many grifters out there.
Yeah, jeez. It's sometimes a sad sight of humanity when you discover those pieces. Interesting thing. So I didn't scam anyone. Just to be clear, I remember the godchild of my wife, when she was over for a sleepover, I used ChatGPT to generate a goodnight story. So I just like entered, you know, like a few details of what they did today. Mm-hmm. And then I generated a few images with ChatGPT using DALL-E. And she loved it. I mean, my wife thought it was okay, but she loved it because there was like the image of a girl that looked someone like her, and the image of our dog, which she adores over everything. And she was just like, this is the best thing ever. And we've been there a few weeks ago, and she still had like the story that I printed out on my home printer. Yeah, I mean, I just, nice. I might have been able to make some real money there. Don't think so, because it was only like 3 or 4 pages, but yeah, potential.
At least you left a lasting impression on her. That's
well, maybe that's not me,
worth more than those $2.
yeah. Maybe. No, I think you can use like these things also for very interesting things. And I believe strongly a lot of companies are right now, I mean, everybody right now is doing AI, right? I mean, you can't be a company right now and say like, AI, oh, that's a fad. That will blow over. Internet fad, you know. Nah, not seeing it. But right now, it's still a bit hard to like identify the business cases. because while ChatGPT is a really fascinating thing and you can use it for all kinds of things, usually when you're a business, you're like in the market for something specific. And right now, I think we are like figuring out where can we use this new large language models or these new generative AI tools to fit into our existing products so we can further enhance the productivity of our users. And I think you can see like the same thing going on at Microsoft. I mean, the amount of co-pilots that have been falling out of that company is just bonkers. I mean, I think you got for every tool right now, sorry, I'm exaggerating, but you got like for every tool out there, you got a co-pilot that somehow straps in, and you got like tools that then somehow should work together with each other, but they got, I think, sometimes different co-pilots. I'm sure they will figure it out or they'll process that at some point, but it just shows, I think, that these generative AIs, they're like, if you've got something like Power Apps where you like can describe your application and it will just generate data models, UIs, business logic flows in the background, that's super powerful. And I think especially like for people that actually know how to do these things, like they know how they could create the UI, they know how they could create the data model, and they know how they have to do these logic flows in Power Apps. But it's just so much quicker because it just like gives you an instant like boost of a template. I remember when back in the days when we had ASP.NET MVC, you could have like these scaffolding templates, and everywhere in the books that were like, yeah, but if you're a real pro, you will no longer use scaffolding. And I was then sometimes still like, yeah, I know, but it's just so quick.
I'm also a lazy pro.
Yeah, I'm also lazy, and I get so much for free, and then I can just kick it out if I don't need it anymore. So I think right now we see like these intelligent scaffolds going on, and I think those are also like they can be like real game changers, especially like if you can then sell them on to customers of your company. I think there's some value in that.
Yeah, those are indeed great launch pads for that kind of stuff. And I also just now came to mind, I saw people who were making games fully out of art made by AI, and they're not hiding it or anything, they're being really upfront about it. Actually, it's like one of the taglines of the entire thing, where they just say, give me a 3D character sheet, front, side, back view, or something like that. And it's really consistent in making those, actually. Like it's one image, it's three views, and it's pretty consistent across all three of those. And they just take that into their 3D modeling program, and well, either that, or you can feed it into new other tools where it basically just generates a 3D model for you out of those three views. And like they're making whole games out of it, and it's very interesting to follow along with that kind of stuff. Especially in this case, it was a point and click adventure type thing, which, I mean, that's the way to my heart straight away. But yeah, that would just looked both nostalgic and pretty sick. So they hooked me pretty quickly.
That's sweet. That's sweet. So a coworker of mine, Benjamin, he said he sometimes listens to the show. He listened to it before we went on our hiatus. Yeah, no, it's scary.
He probably forgot about us.
Probably. So anyhow, but he I think he has got like one of the best stories of how he used ChatGPT. He had the issue that like there was an application running, and during the night some import job was going on, and some of these jobs they failed. And he wanted to then analyze the log files, which were like a couple hundred of lines, to then find like some irregularities going on in that file, and also like timestamps and durations and stuff like that. And he could have done that on his own, right? He could have totally done that, but he thought like, okay, screw it, I'll just try it on ChatGPT. So he uploaded the file. He told ChatGPT what his task was or what he wanted to do, and then ChatGPT actually went through it, sorted out the relevant information, printed it out on the screen, and then he went like, oh man, that's really cool, but I need to send this as an Excel file. So he asked ChatGPT, well, I really would need this data in Excel form. And he went like, no problem, generated in the Excel font. So
here you go.
I think the task that would have taken him like 2 or 3 hours to like comb through it and would have been like very mundane and maybe even, I mean, he never does any mistakes, but if it would have been me, I might have made like 1 or 2 silly mistakes. And yeah, I think for those things, it's just like so quick and so fast. And I think those are also like the scenarios that you can then go to your boss and say like, hey, look, I had to do task X, Y, and Z, and I was able to do it like in 50 minutes, and it saved us X amount of money. Now, of course, if you're like in the paid by hour business, might be a different story. You know, I'll get it when you're against ChatGPT. But
you sell it without ChatGPT and you solve it with ChatGPT.
I see. Okay, yeah. So there seems to be strategies around that. But anyhow, I think there are like so many scenarios that are still being discovered. So I'm really interested in to see what will come to fruition in 2024 going forward, because I think 2023 was like the year where everybody was like, wow, this ChatGPT, this is amazing, and you can do all these funny things with it. You can have conversations, you can have murder mystery parties with ChatGPT. Yes, you can do that. And so you can all those things are like playing around. And I think 2024 will be the moment where we will see like actual services coming forward, which then businesses can purchase and reuse in the libraries.
Now you have me sort of intrigued. Murder mysteries. Is it you that did that, or did you just read that somewhere?
I did that once. Okay. I was like a bit bored on vacation, probably waiting at an airport. And I just said, okay, I would like to have a murder mystery. And yeah. And then you just like, I could then say like, well, interview that guy. And what did that guy say? And then, it went on. It dragged on for ages. So at a certain point, I just gave up. And I just said like, well, just tell me who it was. And yeah, I think ChatGPT got lost at some point.
That is typically what happens.
I think it forgot the initial intent. So you probably have to be quick enough in your game so that that you can play it. But it was interesting. It was a fun thing to play around with. So yeah, I did that. Speaking about murder mysteries and other mysteries, money. Money's a huge mystery. Really trying to now slide into the next topic here. Stephen, one thing that always gets me a bit head scratching is, so right now we have a climate crisis, or global warming seems to be a thing. Seems to be that it's scientifically proven that we humans are really good in blasting out so much CO2 that it actually affects global climate. So that being said, one thing that we can do as software developers is try to be as efficient as we can. That's why I switched to an Apple with an ARM processor, because it uses way less energy. This is such a tongue-in-cheek reference. Please don't give me how much energy was used in production and getting the raw materials out of the ground thing. I know. It's a really dumb argument. But I think these ChatGPT models, or generally like these larger AI models, they seem to be very power hungry. And it also seems to be the case that it's not very democratized. So you got like a few of these really large models, and oftentimes they're not really open source, or like Facebook open sourced Llama, and that's like open sourced with an asterisk at the end, because there are like many strings attached on when you can use it and where you can use it and where you shan't use it, or and stuff like that. So right now it seems to be like that. You got OpenAI, very successful company in the AI space, and I don't know if they are actually profitable at this point. I think that's still a mystery, but looking at Tesla, that doesn't always have to be
the
concern in the first few couple of years of the company. Sorry, I'm an engineer. I'm not really good in economics. Speaking of that, I mean, what do you think? I mean, these huge energy consumptions, does it justify me playing murder mystery on my phone with a little app that then hooks into a ginormous server.
Obviously, in that specific case, maybe not.
Like, I was hoping you would say yes. I was hoping I would get some absolution, but okay. Okay.
No green points for you today. Obviously, that it's the same thing with, we touched upon it earlier, blockchain obviously also consumes like a small country, if not more. I think it, even Australia, it's a pretty big country. I'm not sure on the specific numbers, but it takes up a lot of energy. I think on the one hand, I'm always a bit torn in these kinds of situations. Like for blockchain, maybe a bit less torn than for something like this, because it actually helps me out a bit from time to time. It helps me in my day to day. But yeah, I mean, should we bring power consumption on this stuff down, or at least aim for it? Sure. Can we? I don't know. I'm not into the technicals enough to say something sensible about that. And there's like every time this dialogue about power consumption comes up, I always kind of think to stuff like the meat industry, which takes up like a gazillion tons of power and dirties the planet, probably more than anything else. Like there's so many things that are bad that I'm not sure which one to tackle first. Can I tackle them? I don't know. I don't think so. It's a tough subject, at least.
I'm sure it's totally a tough one. And I think, if you look at the amount of compute power that is required to just run, you know, like, we're not talking about teaching the model. Teaching the model is, again, a lot more energy intensive than just using it. I think cloud vendors are currently quite happy that so many people are requiring their services in the clouds, and they are able to utilize hardware at a much larger scale. I mean, you can buy dedicated chipsets from NVIDIA, which, thanks to the entire AI revolution, is I think now the third or fourth most valuable company in the world. It just goes to show how much of an impact this entire AI thing had also financially for certain companies. But the great like graphic cards or these AI cards, I mean, they are graphic cards, but they're dedicated to run these AI models and be very efficient. And I think you could say, like, well, as long as you cluster them, like as long as you got like a cloud, it's probably a bit more energy efficient than if you had the box running below your desk. But on the other hand, you can now see a lot of trends going on, because for one, these models are so large, you actually require like a data center to operate them, especially if you've got some demand going on. And I think a lot of industries that just go like, nope, not going to happen. We will not shift our data up into the cloud. And so you can see like a lot of focus is now going down to these smaller language models. I mean, they're still large language models, but it's just like a lot smaller than your ChatGPT 3 or 4.
Smaller in scale.
Yeah. Smaller in scale. So your chatbot will not be as fluent as a GPT-4, but you will still get very decent results. I mean, there are some demos out there that compare it. You can run open source language, large language models on your laptop, like on a MacBook M2 or so, that they run. I saw a demo of that. I think it was Martin Sigmund that did one. He's a YouTuber that just like compares all these Macs and all these AI runtimes to one each other. And he made like a little co-pilot, like a little GitHub co-pilot. I think it was specifically for Python. And he could then ask it questions like, hey, how can I do a hello world? Or how can I do a list of whatever? And it would then generate the code for him. And it was good. I mean, it was okay. I don't really write a lot of Python, so I can't tell if it's
can't
it's
really verify, but
can't verify. Yeah. And it was only a very short YouTube clip. But I think it just goes to show that these large language models, I think there will be niche products that will be able to run on much smaller models than you need for GPT-4. Because I think you can see, like, GPT-4, they're now starting to incorporate different kind of artificial intelligences. So because large language, like, one thing, large language models are crap in calculating. Like, if you tell them calculate 1 + 3 there,
yeah,
you'll get, on a good day, you'll get 4.
But, on yeah, average, it's not great.
You'll get something else. But that has been identified. So right now, if the AI sees, like, oh, this is a maths problem, it will kick it over to a different algorithm, which will then solve the maths problem without any hiccups, and then it's just in line. So I mean, I heard I think from Google, there is this camera application, and you can, like, put it on your homework and it will solve the math puzzle for it. So I heard they had to, like, do some special things to identify the math problem, so it's great. The person that told me this said he asked the person at Google, is like, do you really think this was a problem that needed to be solved so that my kids can now cheat at home whenever they got their math homework? But yeah, I think that's a totally different show. Like, when it's should a valid you topic. Use? Yeah, but, it's yeah. Like, when should you use ChatGPT and when is it inappropriate to use ChatGPT? Like, if you text your friends and you use ChatGPT to generate that message, it might not be the right moment to do that. Or when you write business letters that are from you to someone. I mean, just saying, you can get some help, you know, like with grammars and stuff, but there's just, like, a line when you just go, like, yeah, I want to write something in this general direction. It just generates it, and you just put it in an email and just hit send. I mean, that's, you can do it, but I wouldn't want to live in a world where we just still use these smart auto replies, like you get them in Teams or LinkedIn. Like, whenever you have a chat, you can just, like, say, that's great, thank you, hit the button, and you go, like,
congratulations, okay. Mark.
Yeah.
How are you? Yes.
No.
That kind of stuff, yeah.
I think we once had an entire conversation over LinkedIn for like 15 minutes.
Just pre-generated. Yeah.
Yeah. It was fun for 15 minutes.
It was a good time for a bit. So basically you're saying I should stop copying your blog posts and telling it to reword them for my own.
Yes.
Oh.
That's basically what I'm saying.
Darn it.
Darn it. Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah, do it the good old way. Copy them over and just remove the name and put your name on top.
Yeah.
A friend of mine said that happened to him, like, a few times. Like, people just copy their entire blog post, and some of them couldn't even be bothered to remove some personal references he left in there to some of his, like, demo code or blog sites or other things. And it was just like, seriously? Yeah.
Just copy the screenshots with your face on it.
Yeah.
Just doesn't matter.
Just doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
Who is this guy? I don't know him.
Who's this guy? Yeah. So, yeah, no. So I think that's another part, you know, like with all these generative things, you know, like we started off with, like, the generative videos that are a bit creepy at some kind. But if you, like, use it for B-roll stuff, I think that would be fine. People will not be bothered. Like, if you got, like, a screenshot of his city at night, and you didn't have to fly up the chopper or drone to get that shot. Like,
I see the time saving. I mean, no one's gonna, if it's not even a city specific thing, like, it can be, I don't care if it's generated city, I just want a cool looking night scene or whatever.
Yeah. So, and I mean, I think for that it's okay, but I mean, as soon as you start putting me and Steven in front of an audience, that's a fake video. I mean, at least us two will have a problem with that. And I think other people also have a problem with that when that goes viral. And being that 2024 is a big election year in the States, I think a lot of people are like, well, let's see how this plays out.
There's some potential for issues. That That is definitely the case. I don't even want to think about it, to be honest. Like, I wonder how they're going to solve it, right? Obviously, people are still sort of in charge, and things like the generative AIs, say Midjourney, for example, it has filters. So when you put in a prompt, say Trump running a marathon, it'll already tell you that that is probably a famous person and you shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff. So there are mechanics in there that sort of try to pick up on it, but that's also still automated. So I'm sure some will slip through the cracks now and then. It's never going to be foolproof. But yeah, it's an interesting world.
It is. And the next hype is just around the corner, I'm sure. We don't know yet what it is, but it might be chips implanted into your brain. Or, I don't know. I'm really bad at predicting these things, as I think a lot of people are. But it's definitely something that will be very interesting. And I've been using this AI tools on a daily basis currently, like for doing work, for site checking stuff, for getting a quick hint, for getting a suggestion how I could write this code differently, or for generating some unit tests and all that. And I've been using a lot of GitHub Copilot lately, and which is using ChatGPT 4 under the hood, but in a very dedicated fashion, as we've already been talking a bit before. And it's really helpful in some scenarios. I mean, sometimes it breaks down. I mean, you can just see, like, in some areas the training data was not sufficient to be super helpful, but it beats, like, having to search around in the interwebs to then find the proper search term to then start going down reading tons of books, and 3 hours later you then go like, ah, it was just that flag that I set wrong on line 74.
So yeah, for now it's helping us do our job. It's doing great. We don't know what the future will bring. Maybe it'll replace us. Who knows? Not a great note to end on, but still, we're going to end this show for now. We've been your hosts, Stephen
and Mark.